It's the lovely Wendy Chamberlain from Chamberlain Property Advocates. How are you going, Dame Wendy Chamberlain?
I am well, Vilma. I am really enjoying a bit of sunshine and, well. How are you?
Very good, thank you. When the sun's out, I'm bright. I'm bright and chirpy and feeling ready to go. So it's lovely. And as we mentioned off air, I've got things to do like gardening, a little bit of weeding when I get back. So, and I love it too. And it's just a nice time to do it. It's not overly hot, because if we don't get it done now, Wendy, and that really starts to get hot in its 30s, you can't do it. It's impossible. It's too hot.
It's too hot out there. No, it is. Yeah, it's too hot.
No, no good at all. Well, what a week. And a lot of talk about real estate and properties and investments. And now we've got on our tongues this negative gearing. So let's start with let's see how the let's talk about the auction clearance rates at the moment. So tell us a bit about what's happening for spring.
Well, as we are in the middle of the spring selling season now, the clearance rates are in their 50. So when you look at a market and as a litmus test, particularly Melbourne, because we are an auction town here, when you look at the clearance rates of auctions, it gives you a good idea of the pulse of the market. So this week, our clearance rate is around about 55%, and that's off 1,191 auctions, which is a lot of auctions. So when we're into the 50s or even into the 60s, we're in a buyer's market. When it's up into the 80s, which when a market is really roaring along, then that tends to be a seller's market. So the auction clearance rates have wound back to that low 50s, other states 60s range, and that also for private sales, homes are taking longer to sell. So nationally, they're on the market for 32 days, whereas back in September, the quarter, they were at 29 days, and the June quarter were at 27 days. So we are seeing a little bit of easing of the market. Certainly in Melbourne over the past few months, the prices have been pulling back, and we are down 0.1% for September, 1.1% for the quarter, and down 1.4% over the past 12 months here in Melbourne.
So with your expertise, how are you feeling that that market is going?
Well,
is it looking positive?
Well, it is positive. What we're seeing is that if your property is what I call an A-grade property, so when we talk about the quality of homes coming to the market, we often talk about A, B and C-grade properties. So a B or a C-grade property might be one that is on a main road, and there's going to be characteristics about those homes that are less desirable to people. Might be on a main road, might be near a cemetery, it could be too close to power lines, there's all kinds of things. And with what we've been talking about, certainly each time we come on here and have a chat, Vilma, about the increases in the cost of ownership for investors, for people owning properties, like the land taxes and all the things that we need to now have in place for renters, etc., people are starting, that are owning properties that are an investment, are starting to sell those up. And when I'm talking to real estate agents, because I'm talking to people every single day, they're all saying that at least 60% of the stock that they're selling right now is investment stock. So it's properties that people have owned and they've decided to sell them. And in large number of cases, they are B and C grade stocks. So they're not necessarily your really well renovated, well looked after family homes. They can be properties that are not necessarily as desirable, or certainly homes coming on that need a renovation. And in a market that we're seeing right now, with cost of living pressures, with availability of trades and builders and everything like that, there is a real appetite out there right now for buyers to buy properties that are ready to go. Walk in, drop your bags, start living in them. And that's what we're seeing at the moment.
Wow. There you go. Well, I think what's on everyone's lips at the moment is negative gearing. And I think a few people are going to be thinking about this very careful. The federal government has again raised this issue by making changes to negative gearing. So what is negative gearing, and what are the implications for property investors like renters or the wider community? Is negative gearing Well, if negative gearing is removed.
Yes, so I actually have quite strong opinions about this. So negative gearing is where the expenses associated with an asset are greater than the income earned by the asset. So each year when you put your tax return in, the federal government gives you tax breaks. So let's say you borrow money to invest and the income from that investment. So you're getting, you bought a property, which is an investment property, and you're renting it out. The rent coming in is not more, so it's less than what it's costing you to own the property. So your mortgage, your interest, you might have owner's corp fees, rates, council rates, all the things, they are more than what the income is bringing in. So you are in a negatively geared position. So that's absolutely, in a nutshell.
Well, that's good. You clarified that for a lot of people.
Yeah, so that's what you, basically you're making a loss on your investment, and as part of the incentives by the government for people to invest in real estate, because the government does not and cannot and has shown that they can't provide enough housing for people. So if you like, mums and dad investors are like pseudo housing providers, and that's why they have offered, in my opinion, negative gearing over the years. So it constantly comes up about whether whether they should take negative gearing off the table, and what the implications of that would be. So the latest rumblings, the changes proposed are that they're looking at modelling as to, and they're getting pushed by other political people like the Greens into looking at how they might change negative gearing. So there are some options that have been suggested to like totally abolish negative gearing, and they're also talking about, I also wanted to raise that they're talking about changing the concession you get on a capital gains tax as well. So where you own your own home or even the home that you're living in, which is called your principal place of residence, you don't, you can't get negative gearing on that home because it's not an investment because you're living there. And so there's we're talking about investments where it's a property that's for rent. There's what's called a 50% concession on a capital gain tax. So when you sell your home, you're exempt from that. So your principal place of residence, you don't pay any capital gains at all. So what you sell your house for, you can retain. But where it's an investment property, there's an uplift between what you paid for it when you first bought it and what you sell it for. That's a capital gain. And there is the government comes and they want to tax you for that. There currently is a 50% concession on that. So you only have to pay 50% on that gain that you might receive from selling your property. They're talking about changing that as well. And so whether or not they're going to totally abolish negative gearing or limit the timeframes on negative gearing, maybe grandfather properties in that have been purchased before a certain time and then moving forward, anything purchased after X date isn't entitled to get any tax concessions on the losses that you're making on your investment. There's all different ways that they might look to massage this. But I'm going to talk about what I see as the big elephant in the room about what they are forgetting. So any of these reforms are based on trying to increase the revenue of the government, and it's not necessarily what is going to be best for the renters or the property owners of these properties. The government has been shown, and we're talking whether it's federal or state, they do not provide enough housing, social or affordable housing, for the people. And they constantly make these promises and they don't seem to be able to deliver on their promises. So they go, what can we do to try and get money? And they've squarely basically looked at and say, we're going to look at negative gearing. What I have an issue with regarding this is, number one, people have made decisions regarding buying a property based on there being the ability to negatively gear any of those losses. And if negative gearing wasn't there, we're talking about folks that already own property. If that wasn't already there, they would have made different decisions, because they're walking into their decision-making, buying an investment property, knowing that they will get some tax breaks, which is going to allow them to be able to retain and pay for and own that property. So that's the first thing. One of the other things that they say about the reasons that they want to look at making changes to negative gearing is because of the cost of housing. Housing is so unaffordable, people can't get into the market, and all the things that they talk about around that. Now, putting that aside, if you make changes to, and this applies to any aspect of real estate, and I do talk about this, when you pull out one piece of the ecosystem without considering all other aspects of the real estate ecosystem, there are effects that you, will happen that you may not have considered. And one of the big things that I see happening here, if they go and meddle with negative gearing, is if the point of it doing it is they're trying to drop house prices because housing, housing is unaffordable, where does that leave anybody that has purchased a property, let's say in the last 4 to 5 years? Because the market from the start of COVID to now, we have come off 5% in Melbourne. So prices have dropped. If the push to remove negative gearing is to reduce the cost of houses, we are going to see many, many homeowners, people, we're not talking investors now, we're talking people that have purchased a home to live in and have done so, let's say, across the last 4 to 5 years, they have purchased it at the value that was the market at that point in time. People are going to fall into negative equity. And what I mean by that is when somebody purchases a property, they go to the bank and they lend them some money and you've got a mortgage and you're servicing your mortgage based on the value of the home when you purchased it. If they go ahead and change and upset the apple cart and prices come off significantly, those folks will have paid for houses at whatever the price was at that point with a mortgage at that point, and then the houses will be worth less than the mortgages they have to pay on them. That's one of the things I don't think anyone is considering.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I'm not in that position, because there are a lot of people at the moment that have quite a few properties, even holiday homes and what have you, and this is just one big hell of a mess. That's what I look at it as, and it's, you often think, is it all worth it?
And that's why we're seeing more homes come onto the market from an investor perspective, because people are throwing their hands up in the air, and we're talking about mums and dads and retirees who have purchased homes because they just want to leave something for their kids. They want to have something there that they can leave a little nest egg for somebody, and they keep changing the rules.
Yes.
And I'm like, I mean, let's call it out for what it is. The government is looking for ways to save money at the expense of the people.
It's not right.
They claim to represent, whilst at the same time not delivering on their own promises to provide the housing. And it doesn't take into consideration those ramifications for existing homeowners that occupy their home and have mortgages that they're paying off.
Now, let me ask you, these taxes and that, that's the, this is all around Australia, isn't it? This is for everybody.
Negative gearing?
Yeah, no, well, negative gearing, and also people that have homes around Australia having to pay the taxes and all of that. This is all across the board, isn't it? This is for everyone.
It depends. So if we're talking about the land tax, that's a Victorian tax.
Okay. Well, the reason why I'm saying that, because I just wanted to make that very clear, that I did hear that on radio, it was another station, and this guy was called in, and he actually said, he said, bugger Victoria. He said, I'm getting out of there, and I'm going to move up to Darwin and start investing up there.
And this is what we are seeing. So... people,
and that's what he said, yeah. So I just wanted to get it clear. It's a Victorian thing, but a lot of people are moving away and going elsewhere.
That's right, but negative gearing is federal.
Federal, yes, absolutely.
And capital gains tax is federal, but the land taxes and the cost of owning properties here in Victoria, certainly what that person is doing, it's causing people to leave Victoria
somewhere
and
else,
invest in other states.
Correct. And funny enough, with all the mining that's going on there, I was just going to ask you, you know, pick your brain a little bit, but with the mining and the houses up there, do you think it's a better shift?
You've got to look at it from a holistic perspective and what your goals are from an investing perspective. So I'd be wary going into any market where there is only one single industry or income source. So if you're going into a mining town and there's nothing else there, that is not always a great idea.
It's a danger field, yeah. Well, I think you're right by saying that, because I do know someone and who did that quite a few years back and ended up losing everything. So, yeah, I was devastated to hear that news, but lost everything and thought it was going to be a good thing. But you're right, spot on, absolutely. So I was going to ask you, is now a good time to sell, especially now that the weather is picking up, people are becoming more enthusiastic and thinking, oh, well, you know, we might move and go elsewhere. But knowing what we've just mentioned now with negative gearing and the taxes in Victoria, how are people feeling? And really, is it a good time to sell?
So I get asked this question all the time, particularly by people I'm speaking to or clients, when's the best time to sell? Now, ultimately, the best time to sell is when you're ready to sell. But just peeling that back a little bit further, traditionally the spring selling season is where many more homes come onto the market, so you have more competition.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense then if you're ready to sell over winter when you don't have as much competition, but also into the new year. February and March are great times to sell because people have come off their Christmas break, they're into a new year. And also you've got lots of folks looking to move into lots of different school zones, and so they're hunting. And so if your property is that one of those A-grade homes that people are really desiring, or you're at a certain price point that is great for, let's say, first home buyers, well, then those homes are always going to get snapped up. Also on the cards here, we've got rumblings that interest rates are going to drop, if not this year, into the new year. And I personally think once interest rates drop, that assuming nothing else major happens in the meantime.
Yes, there'll be a shift, definitely.
I reckon there'll be a lot more people coming back into the market because when interest rates drop, they have, from a serviceability perspective from the bank, they have more income that they can have a they're offered more money to buy a home by the banks, and so often they get more active.
Absolutely. Buyers do. Yeah, well said. I think I agree. So we just have to, I think it's just trial and error, and just wait until we see what happens in the marketplace. Now, with the rental crisis, now this is on everyone's lips again, and lots of talks about rental ongoing issues that renters are to find a home. How do you think it's going to pan out? I know no one has a crystal ball, but how is it looking as we go towards 2025? And also, has the situation improved at all since the last time we've spoken?
Well, there's been a 0.3% rise in rent for the quarter, and so that's less than it has been, so that's an improvement per se. And the pressure on rents has come off slightly, but only really because people are realising they can't afford the rents and they're looking at other options. And other options include group share houses, moving back with parents, or even moving further out from the CBD because they can't afford closer in. So that one of the aspects why rentals have eased, but that's not a positive thing at all because it's not what people are necessarily wanting to do. They want to live in the house where they want with their family without having to do all these other things. And so there's also been an easing of net migration, which has reduced by 10% from the high of the first quarter back in 2023. And so there's fewer migrants coming in. So that overall, put all those things in the mix, rents have come off a little bit. However, I think we still need to add it back in there, the fact that lots of rental properties are being sold at the moment, and they are being taken out of the rental pool. So there's reduction of available homes. Mm. I don't think we're out of the woods at all with any of that, and I don't think any of these additional taxes in Victoria or these other things the federal government is contemplating are going to help with any of it.
Would like to mention a little bit about the ongoing increased costs to rental providers and landlords. How is it impacting the property market overall? And also, if you can enlighten me, with the Victorian government recently announcing more cost for landlords with their new minimum rental standard, and what's all that about?
Yes, so the government announced that by October of 2025, there's a number of minimum standards that owners of properties that they rent out must implement into the homes as part of the new minimum rental standards. And these include things like ceiling insulation, draft ceiling, compliant hot water systems, shower heads, heating and cooling. And they estimated, this is the thing that makes me just shake my head, they estimated, the government estimated all of these things having to be fixed up would cost you $5,519. And it's just ludicrous because try and get a trade to come out at the moment, let alone the cost of things. And so it's going to cost property owners far more than that. And then there's all penalties. If you don't comply, there's penalty points that all get applied to you for the fines that are going to happen. So there's that, and plus there's other things. Like I said, we talk about the land tax, which is really causing problems for people. Land taxes are off the charts for many people because they dropped the threshold. And so homes that previously were not included as having to pay land tax now do. And then other recent changes include that every other year you've got to do gas and electricity checks and get those audited. And so there's payments. But there's also you get auditing for these rental standards. So you pay that person anywhere from $250 to $400 to go and audit your house, and then you've got to fix up what's not right. So there's just thing after thing after thing. And then there's more rights for renters in what they can do within your home. And so there's costs when the landlord has to come in, or rental provider, as we're called now in Victoria, to fix up a home when that person moves out and the next person comes in. And this is why people are just saying, too hard, why do I need to do all these things? I'll sell the property. And I'm seeing signboards when you drive around in suburbs where you hardly see any site for sale signs. You're seeing all these boards. I drove through Carlton recently, and through all these streets with the houses, which you hardly ever see any signboards for sale. And there was like four or five on just driving through a few streets. So it's really starting to have an impact.
Wow. Just unbelievable. Well, let's talk about some exciting stuff that you've been doing, and thank you for that. I appreciate it. The new podcast, Property Mama, how's that going for you?
I am loving hearing my shenanigans, Vilma, on Property Mama, and I'm getting great feedback from people who listen in to the show.
I'm sure
you are. Really, really encouraging, because I just share, each week I jump on and I just share whatever the latest goings on is in relation to what I see in real estate. So the new episode this week went out today, and we talked about renters and things that renters have got up to in properties. Last week we spoke about the fact that there are cameras in houses, and real estate agents need to remember that things get filmed.
Wow. Well, there you go. That's
episode 34.
Yes, interesting. Wow. Well, you wouldn't expect that, but it's happening. Also, to getting started in property, online mentoring program. Now, this is a good one because this actually helps and guides and educate people. So if they are getting started in property, you certainly don't want to be doing the wrong thing and end up having nothing left at in the end. So getting started in property online, tell us a little bit about that one.
Yes, Vilma, I've taken my almost three decades of experience buying and selling real estate, and I've put it into an online program, which is a self-paced course where you can digest it at your own pace, and it is specifically designed to give you the confidence to be able to buy a home. So if you're not confident speaking to real estate agents, we've got scripts for that. If you're not sure how to familiarise yourself with an area that you're looking at to become an area expert to understand the pricing, we've covered that. It's very, very comprehensive, and it is designed that if you do want to learn what it takes and what you need to know in order to buy a home, the Get Started in Property mentoring program is for you.
Good on you. Now, as we know, a buyer's advocate and a selling advocate, just very quickly, because we'll need to wrap up shortly, but the importance of a buyer's advocate and also the seller's advocate as well. So tell us a little bit why is it important to have someone on your side?
And that's what it's about, Vilma. We're that independent voice for whomever is out there. So think about it. When you're going and looking at property you're interested in buying, there's the real estate agents there representing the vendor. Who's representing you as the buyer? We get access to properties that are not available for sale as well. Just yesterday, I went out with my clients. We looked at a property that had just become available to us. It's off market. And so it's through our relationships with real estate agents that we do get that basically insider knowledge on what is available, what's coming to the market. But additionally, I've been doing this for nearly three decades. You need us to bid at auction where you do that for you confidently. We don't get emotional. We don't go over the budget. Same with negotiating. We step in there and do that for you. So we are that independent voice for you that supports you when you're looking to buy. You might be too busy. You might not trust real estate agents, whatever it is, and we're there to support you. So on the selling side, as a vendor advocate, we effectively do a similar thing insofar as we help you choose the real estate agent and support you through that selling process. And many of our clients have not sold before and they're nervous about the process, and we are there protecting you through the sales process.
That's fantastic. Now, also too, Wendy's giving away a free ebook on the website. You can go to that, and it's called Chamberlain Advocates with an S on the end, .com.au/NorthwestFM. And if you've got an inquiry or you've got an inquisitive mind and you may be wanting to invest in a property or buy a property or have some insight or have an inspection or have some ideas, well, Wendy's happy to help. And you can inquire, and it's inquire@chamberlainadvocates.com.au. And don't forget the free ebook. And if you want to go to the website, all you need to do is go to chamberlainadvocates.com.au. And Wendy is always happy to help in the community. And with over 30 decades, you'd be a historian. 30 years of being in the business. I've got my tongue twisted there. She certainly knows her stuff and knows the right people as well. So please, and do get your free ebook. Just go to chamberlainadvocates.com/NorthwestFM and 3 decades, not 30 decades. Well done.
I'm aging really well, Wilma.
I tell you what, you don't look a day over 21. How many decades was that? Good on you, darling. All right. Well, listen, you have a great afternoon. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Your time is very valuable to you, and you also share it with us. So I thank you for that. Until next time, happy selling, happy clients, and you've certainly got the weather for it now.
Thanks, Wilma.
My pleasure. Have a great afternoon. Bye for now.
Bye.